Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From grandmothers who whispered in their baby girl ear, to fathers on dimly lit street corners instructing young soldiers to always keep their eyes open. You be queen. You were fire. You were passed through centuries on the hands of your daughters. They called you wisdom. Proverbs. On the backs of diamond-eyed school children who grew into hymnals recited by amethyst-holding urban philosophers who recited neighborhood commandments out of the windows of restored El Camino chariots to keep the warmth in their blood. Be wise. Be smart. Be black opal, brown quartz, bloodstone, and prayer. Be every form of gem. See, king told scribe, scribe told son, son told wife, wife told her daughter, and daughter told the ancestors, and the ancestors told me that you would come to give wisdom to thousands. They said you would come. Dropping gem.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Dropping Gems podcast. Of course, I am your host, Debbie Brown. We are now on episode 13. Oh my God. And I haven't told y'all this yet, but come episode 15, we are going to take a little bit of a hiatus, refine a few things, and then kick off season 2 in February. So make sure you are savoring these moments. Make sure that you are heading to the App Store for podcasting, leaving your 5-star rating and your review. I so appreciate everyone that has taken the time to do that. And let's get into this episode right now. So this episode, and I know, I say this all the time, it's so special, but everyone that comes on the show is so special to me. We've known each other at so many different layers and levels of our journeys, I should say. But the crazy thing is, this person, we first connected maybe 12, 13 years ago, and then life kind of took us in different directions. I haven't actually laid eyes on him in 8 years. And in that 8 years, when I tell you, so much has happened that it's kind of cool, because in this moment, I'm meeting a version of him that I have not known yet. So I'm probably just as excited as you guys are to hear what he has to say. But I would love for you to please welcome to the show, Garen Jones.
Man, stories for days. Thank you, Dev, for this opportunity. It's crazy when you reached out to me. Asking me to be on it, I was like, well, we've got a lot of catching up to do. So yeah. It's like, but so just so y'all know, we haven't even had the opportunity to catch up. So we'll be catching up fresh ears right now on this episode. So stay tuned.
I wanted to save it. Like when he walked in the house, like the first thing we did was like, oh my God. Okay. So what happened here? And what are you doing? And da, 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 da. And then I was like, wait, stop talking. Get to the studio. Cause I want all of this to be fresh for me too, as it's fresh for you. So a little background, Garen. I actually have a hard time calling you Garen because I knew you as a different incarnation of yourself.
Absolutely.
Knew you as a tremendously multi-talented musician, singer, songwriter,
Steph Jones. Yep.
That's how I knew you as Steph Jones. And that was when, of course, like I was working in FM radio and kind of on the music scene more, and you were doing music, and you were definitely like a Hollywood socialite at the time that we became friends and completely in the mix. We'd be at all of the parties and all of the things. And yeah, so this is like really, really special. So let's start from the top.
Yeah.
You are from Houston.
Yeah, born and raised.
You came to Hollywood.
Yep. Because I knew there was something. I knew when I was a little kid that I didn't belong there. I needed to be somewhere else where I could just like share the arts and just be stimulated, because I was bored in Houston.
Yeah. It's so funny because we actually, even though you're from Houston, we met before I ever even conceived of living in Houston.
Right.
So we met like in Hollywood. But yeah, it's really striking to me sometimes how many people I meet from Houston that are so talented that have migrated to LA, New York. Like I feel like I meet more Houston people in LA than I do LA people.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about that kind of experience being young and popping on the scene in Hollywood, and maybe some of the deeper layers, the background to what was happening.
You know what? Deep down inside, I honestly, and this is like just being honest, I never liked it. It was the only place I knew that I could do something that I loved, but the industry was cool, but I didn't like, I seen too much. I knew too much. Like some of my best friends, I seen what was going on. So just stuff that was going on behind the scenes and how people would mess people over, steal their money, steal their royalties. People stole my royalties from songs that I wrote, number one hit songs on platinum selling artists that they never gave me credit. And I would always hear people say, well, you gotta pay the price. And I was just like, man, there's gotta be another way to be successful.
People love to say, like, you gotta earn your stripes.
Yeah. And I just, you know, that was the only way I knew how to function. I didn't know how to get out. If I knew another way, I would have done it, because I wasn't happy like the entire time. The only time I was happy is when I was actually creating the music and getting feedback from the people that would listen to the music. Everything else that came with it, deep down inside, I'm like, something ain't right. Like, I look at my favorite artist 5 years later, I'm like, what happened to their soul? And I'm like, and when the same thing started happening to me, you can't see the picture while you're in the frame. So when it started happening to me, I'm like, well, how do I tell people? I'm not making any money, but I got songs on the radio. I'm featured on E! News and all these different things. However, I'm broke. I can't pay child support right now. And I was too shameful to get a 9-to-5 job because I had to maintain an image.
Yeah.
And there was lots of my friends in the same exact predicament. So who's really going to be the first person to be like, you know, I'm going to go get a job. So I was willing to ride that out, live in my car for 2.5 years
while
putting on the image of Hollywood. Be like, yo, I'm trying to get like you. But deep down inside, I'm like, I'm dying right now. So my image of Hollywood ain't what they show on TV, glamorize on TV, because it wasn't pretty for me, but it was so necessary for me to go through that so that I could see where I didn't belong.
Wow. What was that? Tell me more about that experience of like the juxtaposition of homelessness while you're having this perceived huge success.
So You know, but it was a perceived huge success because I found a way to position myself to be around a bunch of celebrities. And I was just like, well, maybe if I'm seen with them, people will see that I'm actually talented.
Yeah.
But I was seeing people, they were doing some crazy stuff to get put on. And I'm like, one, I'm keeping my manhood. Two, I respect myself. Three, I'm not going through all this crazy stuff just to get my song on the radio. And these are not stuff I heard. These were things that I saw with my own eyes. And I'm just like, yo, this industry is crazy. Mm. Well, the industry's not crazy. There were crazy people in the industry that were abusing their power.
Yes.
So the industry is amazing. The crazy people is the problem.
Yeah, and it was so, especially back then, it was so unregulated. Like, we weren't having conversations like we can have now, like the Harvey Weinstein conversations.
Absolutely.
We weren't allowed to have those conversations then. So,
well, social media wasn't popping like it was now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just going through that whole thing, the thing about it was I keep myself so busy that I wouldn't have to think about my own life. So, you know, I would be in the studio till 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would do this, and I would be doing all these other different things and doing music videos, but I would always make enough money just so that I could pay back the people who paid me money, pay back my mom, pay back child support. And it's just, no matter how much money I made, I was always stuck in the same spot.
Yeah.
But I would keep myself so busy that I would not look at the truth, which was I wasn't happy. I wasn't being responsible. And so I was willing to be fake so that I wouldn't have to look at my authentic self. Dress fake, talk fake, fit inside of whatever group I could fit inside of just so I wouldn't have to look at myself in a mirror, my real self, when nobody's around and the truth shows up.
Mm. How many people listening right now, take a second, can really relate to that, either in this moment or as a previous version of yourself?
Yeah.
That, and it's so funny because I think, not to the same extent, but like when I first took a job in Houston and I moved there, I remember I had like one of the biggest internally shifting years of my life, because it's the first time I had been that isolated. Even though I was working and still kind of on the scene and had to be out and stuff there, it was out of my comfort zone. I moved there and didn't know a soul, you know? And it really showed me how much I had been distracting myself with fun while I lived in LA. It was so easy to not deal with like the hidden traumas or my past, because right. I was so busy and busy doing really exciting, like admirable things, you know? So then you get to take on that persona and that role and just view yourself through that lens of being poppin', when there's like this whole real, authentic, deep, internalized version of you that's standing there like, bitch, pay attention to me.
Right, right. And then you go through that, and if people start bigging you up while you're in that fake stage, or that's it's like being in a prison inside of a prison. So it's like, I'ma act how you think I should act.
Mm.
It's like being in a prison inside of a prison.
Yes.
Because I'm not being myself. I'm doing this because that approval that you're giving me and feeding me, and everybody's feeding me, you're popping. Oh, I got to keep this image, because if I don't keep this image, they'll see that who I really am, they're not going to like this one.
Yeah, because we're trained to believe, just from like unprocessed emotion when we're growing up, that the real you is unworthy.
Right.
That the real you is not enough and undeserving and unlovable. And so you stack and stack and stack with all this different posturing, all these different, you know, facades and masks.
Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, even during that time, I'm like, yo, why can't I keep money? It don't matter how big of a job I get. $20,000 all of a sudden is gone. I'm like, where did this money go? And what I didn't realize is money is energy. And it's a piece of paper with preconceived value. So the value that you see in yourself, your money matches the value that you see in yourself. So if you have low value standard of yourself, there's no possible way abundance is going to come in your life because you don't even see abundance. So if you grow up in a household and your mom says, we don't have any money, we don't have any money, we're broke, we don't have any money, you grow up with the mindset of, I can't afford it, I can't afford it, I can't afford it. So there's no possible way you can speak abundance or even have the frequency and energy of abundance if you're looking through the framework of, I'm not enough, I can't afford it, I'm not valuable. So abundance doesn't make its way into those people's lives. Just like somebody who wins the lottery, 2 months later, they go bankrupt.
Yeah.
Because they weren't that person.
Yeah. Yeah. God, that is so real. And you know what's so funny about that thought? Like it can also go in so many directions. Like when you view the world from a space of lack or from a space of like you being ashamed of yourself or not accepting of yourself, because to that end, it could go two ways. You could either really not know how to handle money or not spend because you're thinking, you know, you're not attracting abundance, or you could be on the flip side and spend it all on like luxury goods because you're trying to create even more framework for yourself to be viewed.
Yep.
So you can like, even people that are perceived as highly successful because they got all the fire fits, they got the car, they're doing everything on the gram, that is posturing too. That is the same. You know, that is, I'm throwing all my money into this because I want you to view me as being enough. I want to feel elevated above other people. And that's what will make me feel good about myself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's a very powerful conversation. And the worst part about it is 95% of the people have no clue.
Yeah.
It's a unconscious thing, and you can't change what you're not aware of. So to go to your grave never having lived the life that you were truly meant to live because you were living for other people.
And I want to sit there for a second. So let me flash forward for a second, and we'll get into more of this later in the show, but flash forward many years. In this moment, you are a celebrated, critically acclaimed global speaker.
Yep.
You've spoken in front of massive audiences.
Absolutely. Thousands. I spoke in 63 countries in the last 3 years.
63 countries.
Yeah.
On a stage in 63 countries.
Mm-hmm.
You've made a ton of money. You've done a ton of cool things. You have a book coming out.
Yeah, in November, called Change Your Mindset, Change Your Life.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I own five houses.
Five houses.
Well, I do real estate development.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's just moving. I love to see things move and transform. So I transform bodies, minds, energy, transform money. Like, I just love to watch something start from one area and watch the developmental, the evolution of something else. There's just something so beautiful about that process. Yeah.
And you're getting married.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting married. Me, for anybody who know me, of all people, Garen Stefan Jones is getting married November 23rd. To somebody who I really want to get married to, who I know God was like, I need you to be right. Because when you write, I'm going to introduce you to your mirror. Oh, I could write a book on that process.
Please
alone.
Please do.
Oh, it's crazy.
Men need that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? So a couple years ago, because again, in the last 8 years, like we've communicated somewhat on social media, like,
right.
You know, like comments, DMs, you know, we've been able to kind of peek into each other's journeys, but we haven't had like our old school Denny conversations, right?
Right.
Down and
yeah.
Really talking about,
by
life.
The way, the reason why she says Denny, because she allowed me to sleep on her couch when I was living in my car one day. She took me to Denny's, paid for my food. Yes. Dev is the ish with no toilet paper. She's a really great friend. So that's what she means by Denny conversation for anybody that doesn't have context.
Well, you know, so this was the funny part to me, Steph, and I have to share this with you. Like, you know, some years ago, as you were really like kind of stepping into the fullness of your life, you had put up this post on Instagram, and it was a picture of your old Jeep and I think your storage unit.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So in that post, you told this like beautiful and also to me heartbreaking story about the fact that you had been homeless for a couple of years, that you had been living out of your car, that you, you know, the things that you belonged were in the storage unit and you go there every day to change and to get ready for your day. And I started crying when I read that because you probably don't realize this, but I had no idea. Like I had no idea, you know, and it's like we were young too. It's like at that point we probably didn't even know how. At certain ages, you don't yet know how to even talk about the darkest parts of you or
let people in,
you know, so you don't have the language yet or the openness.
Yeah.
But I remember, you know, I just knew you as a really, really great person. I had an assumption that maybe something had happened, but I didn't have the framework to think that, oh no, like this has been your experience. So like we had hung out. I think we had done something. I know you had like, so first of all, which y'all don't realize if this is like your first time appearing of the other version of Steph Jones, like his voice is crazy. He has one of the most like glorious singing voices, an incredible pen game with songwriting. But so I think we were talking about music and at that time I was like really trying to get you on the radio and I was trying to like push your songs different places. And we had gone out to eat and I don't remember why. I could definitely tell that there was something had happened. I think my assumption was like you and a roommate had got into it and I knew you needed some place to stay. So I was like, don't worry about it. Crash on my couch. Here's a towel. Like, let yourself out. Like when I head to work, like, whatever. Yep. Like do your thing. There's some water in the fridge. Again, I was not even, this was a tiny apartment in North Hollywood. So it was not my current life scene, but so I didn't know, you know, and then we'd stayed in touch. And when I first moved to Houston, that's when I found out you were from Houston because your mom lived there and you were there for a visit and you invited me over for a family meal. And that definitely in that moment helped me because I felt so alone at the time. It was like my first couple of maybe months of living somewhere where I didn't know a soul. I'm rebuilding. I'm deeply homesick. And so being able to like be connected to you and your mom and have, you know, delicious meals and feel at home. But so when I read that post, I was just kind of, I was blown away. And then I felt a little bit of guilt and I was like, why didn't he tell me? Like he could have crashed on my couch every day if he needed to. Like,
right. You know, it was crazy when you, and I know a lot of people can relate to this. It's, you're not raised, knowing the skills and the how to communicate those things. And I was so ashamed. I was so ashamed that I couldn't, how could I, someone who had been signed to Def Jam, who had been on MTV, who had, you know, been written songs for Chris Brown, Jordan Sparks, 2 Chainz, how could I be homeless living in my car? So there was no way that I could not put myself out there like that.
Right.
But it wasn't until,
because then you also don't know who you can trust.
Right.
Like who's going to be authentic, right, and who's going to use that as ammunition against me.
Absolutely.
Or to laugh at me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until, I would say 2013. So that was like some years later.
Yeah.
I remember I was talking to this lady and she was like a spiritual advisor. And she said, she was like, why do you call yourself Steph? And I was like, well, Stefan is my middle name. She was like, well, why don't you call yourself your first name? I was like, well, I didn't really like my first name. And so when I came to Los Angeles, I came to get a new start. So she was like, So basically you came to run away from your past. And it just like hit me in a certain way. She was like, so how would you think your, if you were a little kid, a little kid was living inside of you, how would you think your inner child would react if you were to, if that was your child and you were to come home after 15 years and not checked in? And I said, but, and then I start crying.
Yeah.
Because I never thought about that.
Felt a swell right now.
I never thought about that. And I said, if I treated my inner child, which is inside of all of us, like an actual little baby, and I did not check in. So I didn't check in for years. And she said, so write a letter from Big Steph to Little Garen and tell him I apologize. I did not forget about you. And then when you're done, switch to your non-dominant hand, which is going to operate your child brain and your creative mind, and use your opposite hand and write a letter from Little Garen to Big Steph. When I did that, all this stuff that I had stuffed down since childhood all start coming up that I completely forgot about. And I had pages and tears, and I was cursing, F you, you forgot about me. And then right after that happened, it was like this energetic, deep energetic, just pressure that just leaped up out of my chest. And I was like, my name is Garen Jones. And a surge of power just ran through my body when I just completely owned it. Because, see, I was trying to be somebody instead of just being. And so when I said, my name is Garen Jones, and that is the post that you saw, that's when I went on Twitter, MySpace, Instagram, Facebook, all my things, completely changed my handle, and then I put out a post on social media. I said, you think you know me? You have no idea. You know this, 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 and this, and this. But you don't know this, 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 and this. I got about 15 pages of emails from people saying, how did you do that? I'm going through the same thing. And that's when I realized my greatest gift was actually in my testimony. That's when I start sharing and being vulnerable and just putting myself out there, because nobody else would do it. So it was like, oh, I was in a league of my own because no one was willing to put it out like that. Yeah. All my business started from that, because it was all those people. They're like, oh, you're getting healthy? I want to get healthy too.
Right.
Because they were associating whatever I was doing in the moment with what had me the strength to really put my real authentic self out there.
Okay, I have two thoughts right now. One, for people listening, this is what influence means. You know, like, I feel like now everybody wants to be an influencer, but what are you influencing? Where are you taking the people that are following you, per se, right? Followers. And this to me is such a prime example, because you had people that followed you from Hollywood, right?
Right.
And then you are leading them, literally, probably at that time, especially not realizing it, to a better version of themselves just by you being you and shining your authentic light.
Yeah.
And now you've opened them up to that.
Oh, absolutely.
Second, I love what you shared about this inner child work, because every single person listening right now, I am begging you to look into this and to really expand upon this incredible transparency that Garen just gave you. Because I myself, like, I thought I had been doing the work, which I have. I don't want to say I thought. I've been doing the work. But having my son reveal to me new layers and depths of the inner child work that I really needed to focus on, that I thought I had already moved past. Because, like, my son looks identical to me. I don't share him online, but we have the exact same face. It is unreal. So when I would be holding him and I'd be looking down at him, I would see the most perfect, precious, worthy, valuable soul I had ever seen, right? Like, as I'm looking at him, I'm just like, you are whole, you are light, like, you are perfectly designed. But then it was causing this inner turmoil in me that I wasn't really, that it took me a while to figure out. Like there was some rigidness happening inside, because how could I feel that way about this tiny soul that looks exactly like me? But I didn't fully feel that way about baby me, about little Debbie, you know? And I didn't realize that in this moment in time, I love the hell out of myself. Like, I love me. I accept all of me right now.
Absolutely.
And I feel so grateful, like, to be this version of myself and to just exist, right? But what I realized was I'm thinking grown Debbie is the shit, but I'm still looking back at little Debbie with a side eye, viewing her from this lens of, you're not enough, you're neglected, you're disheveled. Like, I had created this narrative in my mind about what child me was that was not accurate or real. Mm-hmm. But my warped narrative that stemmed because as a kid, you don't know how to process things and you don't have the emotional bandwidth or vocabulary. My version of looking at myself was like, she's this disheveled, unloved, unwanted, unlovable little ugh. And so it's like I was repressing her. She's a child.
Right.
A super resilient, amazing child. Mm-hmm. So part of my process, like I love that you shared about writing that letter and doing that kind of free form writing to yourself. For me, what I did is I went and found in my pictures probably like what I would have previously considered as a very awkward picture of me as a young person, like a picture that I wouldn't want people to see. And then I found a beautiful frame and I put it in the frame and I put it somewhere that I see it every day in my closet on like my little table that I stop at every day. And every single day I started walking by that picture and smiling at her, talking to her, like praising her, right? Like, and just really appreciating her and speaking to her with the same love I would give a three-year-old, a child, or my own son. And just over time, subconsciously and really like gently and subtly, it completely changed everything. Like I was able to really integrate what I was perceiving to be as these two versions of me and integrate them so that there is acceptance and love for every stage of who I've been,
right,
who I am, you know? And now that's like probably my favorite picture of myself. And just maybe 2 years ago, I would have like cringed at the sight of that picture, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's really powerful that you said that, because a lot of times, actually all the time, the things that come up in our lives and the things that, you know, that cause a lot of people problems and challenges and things, a lot of times they look to the surface. They're like, oh, well, he did this and why does this keep happening to me? Why does the same thing keep happening? Why do I keep missing out on money? How come I can't attract my soulmate? Well, what is this? And then there's blame, but it's always on the surface level. However, if you never cleared the space from the point of the impact when it originated, it's actually been serving you and recreating in your life in many different variations and forms. This is why a lot of girls that have daddy issues end up dating a guy that's just like their daddy, or the men dating somebody that's just like their mom, or vice versa, things like that, because they keep recreating their life over and over and over, because the point of impact, the thing is still there. So it's some angry little 5-year-old girl who never got her way, whose parents never acknowledged her, never said, I'm proud of you, or anything. And then what happens is you come 10 years old, 15 years old, and you keep attracting the same exact outcome. But you look to the thing that's around, but actually what's running is a little 5-year-old that's running the show saying, I'm not worthy. I'm not enough. I'm not enough. Yeah. It's never the adult, because it doesn't originate in adults, just like ABCs originates at the point of when you first learn language.
Yeah.
That is the impact. ABCs. Then you learn words, paragraphs, sentences, essays, then books, then libraries. Well, the point of impact, something that has impacted your life. You got molested. They said, you know, that no one ever told you they were proud of you, whatever. That was the point of impact. Consider those the ABCs of that particular context. And if it keeps going, it will evolve, just like ABCs turns into dance and singing and all these other things. Yeah. So it explodes as you're an adult. But what's actually happening is the little girl or the little boy who it's still running. It's like a program that you leave open on your phone.
That's so good. That's so powerful. And you know what too? And have you noticed, like, when you kind of don't heal those spaces, you find that everything you encounter as an adult, like especially like with relationships, right? Like say that same little girl you're speaking of meets an amazing man, right?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, he's too nice.
Yeah.
I don't like nice guys, or ugh, mm-hmm. is this? He gotta, you know. What that really is because of that trauma and because of that, you know, harm, your normal is dysfunction.
Oh, absolutely.
So anything that is seemingly good or right or aligned or perfect or too nice feels so foreign to you
yeah.
that you want to like withdraw and seek out something that feels more painful
and go back to your comfort zone.
More
yep.
comfortable, the yep. discomfort, right?
Yep. It's easy to go back to what you know. It's easy. You know, what's difficult is if I handed you a book on Japanese, you never spoke it before, you want to speak this new language, that's difficult. So anytime you want to integrate something new in your life, it's like learning a new language. So you must immerse yourself in that language, not like try it with Rosetta Stone once a week. You've got to immerse yourself into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, this is a really powerful topic because I had something happen to me 3 years ago, and I had my jaw was infected, and it was like the size of Thanos from Avengers. And I had to go see a specialist, and I said, what happened? He was like, you got to get a root canal. I'm like, there's already a root canal here. They said, well, whoever did the originally did the root canal, they never got it to the root at the root. So you've got 15 years of infections. And so what's showing up now, you see where I'm going. So what's showing up now is because at the point of where it was supposed to be taken care of, it's still rotten. So it was built on the foundation of something that's rotten.
Wow.
Relationships break up like that. Offices, businesses, everything, because you could be in a relationship with a guy or a girl and be like, no, deep down inside, you don't want to be into it. You don't want to be in it. That's the foundation that you're trying to build off of. So 5-10 years later, boom, what happened? I don't understand. You never wanted to be in it.
Wow.
So in this context, if there's all these problems that keep happening in your life, don't look at the surface. Look at the root cause. When you look at the, because I had to pay 10 times more. They cut half my jaw open to do something that could have easily been taken care of if it was done the right way at the point of impact to begin with.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Listen.
I've learned the hard way through physical pain and experiences, and this is how I've gained the knowledge to all of this, this wisdom that is supporting me in my change.
Yeah. Can we go back a little bit? Because I want to talk about getting from Steph Jones to Garen Jones.
Yeah.
Getting from the Jeep and the storage unit
okay.
to 63 countries, globally speaking, becoming, you know, really attracting so much affluence into your life.
Like, yeah.
Where did that come in?
So here I am, lowest point of my life. Girlfriend had just broken up with me. Daughter pretty much disowned me. My mom was dying in the hospital. Everybody in my family was unhealthy. Living in my car for 2.5 years, and I was $200,000 in debt.
Oh my God.
Oh no, it was crazy. I tried to kill myself twice, and I failed at that. Oh. So here I am, and this was around the same time. We were hanging out. And so I'm on the corner of La Brea and Sunset. I used to park my car in the frozen yogurt, that little lot, the Mail and More lot. And I remembered that one day it was like raining. It was August 2011. Window was busted out because the day before somebody broke into my car, stole everything that I had. And I was just like, man, can it get any worse? And it kept getting worse. But then I finally stopped saying that. I yelled in that moment. It was my spiritual awakening, and I just cried out at peak state. And I was like, okay, I'm tired of fighting. I don't want to fight anymore. I want to be healthy. I want to be happy. I want to be surrounded by nothing but positive people. I just want to inspire people, and I want to make a bunch of money, but I want the money to represent something that I passionately believe in that I would do for free. Just show me a sign. Show me a sign. Show me a sign. And there was silence, but I was like cursing and crying. It was crazy. I had never been at that. I was like, there was something coming out of me. A week later, I'm at the gas station with my last $2. And then a homeless guy, quote unquote, comes up to me and asks me for money. And I said, and I was doing an independent film. They wasn't paying me anything, but I was doing an independent film in Inglewood. And I went to the gas station with my last $2. Homeless guy walks up to me. He says, do you have any money? I say, you have more money than me. And he goes, change your mindset, change your life. And right there, it was like I had a conscious interrupt, and it was like my whole entire life was a lie. Because in that moment, those words, it weren't just words, it was backed by something that just like vibrated through my whole body. Change your mindset, change your life. Because he had walked off, but I kept saying the words, change your mindset, change your life, change your mindset. So if my mind is set on something, then that's why the result is what it is. So if I do different with the same circumstance, my life will change. So from there, I just kept playing with the word. I would get to escalators, change your mindset, change your life. I would walk the stairs. I would normally do gel soap, change your mindset, change your life. So I would do bar soap. Normally, I would wake up at 11 a.m., change your mindset, change your life. I'll wake up at 7 a.m. I start waking up early. I was normally unhealthy. Change your mindset, change your life. I made a conscious decision to get healthy. And that's when I started meeting all these people that were introducing me to opportunity to become healthy. And so it's been 8 years of me creating new neural pathways in my brain without me even knowing what I was doing, simply because I was doing the opposite that I would normally do in areas of my life that I wasn't happy, but I had built up the momentum because it was easy for me to do the opposite in something like doing the stairs, but an object in motion stays in motion. So I just kept doing it. So when it came to something really big, I was already in momentum of simply doing the opposite. So I'm 8 years removed from somebody who was trying to kill himself. Now I'm breathing life into the world because I'm doing the opposite. Reading books is the opposite. Going to seminars is the opposite. Being a part of the health community was the opposite. Cutting my hair at the time was the opposite. Growing my hair was the opposite. Learning from people, studying gurus and not watching TV, not scrolling, all of that was a part of the opposite. Going from $250,000 in debt to slightly under double figures in the two comma club in my net worth per year. Wow. As a black man in America. Wow. Who couldn't even pay child support 8 years ago. They featured me in Forbes last month and Entrepreneur last week.
Wow. Do y'all understand that this is so much free game? And if you didn't have your pin for this episode, I need you to press pause right now. Go grab one. That is so powerful.
Yeah.
That's so powerful.
That's how it started.
How beautiful is it too that to just take a moment and understand that like truth and revelation can come through any source.
Any
source. You just have to keep your eyes open, your ears open, and your judgment completely down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because this man asking you for money at a gas station gave you your breakthrough.
Yeah.
And he was just as worthy of giving a breakthrough mm-hmm. as if it had been a multi-billionaire who stopped you on the street with a bit of advice.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Take me through the building of your current life and business, because it went from that moment in the gas station
yeah.
to now you being where you are. And I think it's so important for people to know, especially like for people that are looking for radical change and shifts in their life. And there's a certain amount of people that probably listen to this podcast that really want to dive into the entrepreneurial space.
Got it.
And build something of purpose. Mm-hmm. Like how do you, because I remember it started with Herbalife.
Yeah.
It started with, because I had
getting healthy. Yeah,
I had like bought one of your first packages. Come on, let's get me right and tight.
Yeah.
And it started with that. And so how, because it's what I think is so special too, is like probably when you started selling Herbalife, you couldn't even conceive that that would eventually with other work lead you nope. to dropping this book, leads you to being on a stage mm-mm. in some country, some foreign land,
yeah.
you know? So it's like also that commitment to the marathon, to staying the course of just forward movement. Even if you don't have the perfect vision board of like, this is where I want to be.
Yeah. You know, I always knew that I was supposed to be on stages. I didn't know how. Mm. So whether it was music, whatever, I just always knew. I always saw a crowd of people. And when I made that cry in the car, I want to make a difference in the world. I didn't put a boundary on what platform it was. So it didn't matter. Some people put boundaries on, well, I want to do this, but I don't want to do it like that. You don't know what God gonna bring to you.
Wow.
So I was actually open to all boundaries. And because I was open to all boundaries, my blessings didn't have a boundary. Because how you do anything is how you do everything. But see, at this time, I wasn't aware.
Jesus.
So just by not being aware, but open, all the possibilities led me to something else. Because here's the thing. Here's how it works. When you have a big vision and you can clearly state where you're going, anything that comes is a part of your journey. But if you don't, then you're subject to everything else. But because I had the big vision, the breakup was a part of the journey because I had to learn a certain lesson that was going to grow my heart in a certain way. And then all of a sudden, I'm at a Starbucks and I'm meeting this person right here who led me to this person, who led me to this person, who led me to this. And oh my God, I can't believe I should have never said yes to this. But then I said yes to this. And on the way leaving, I meet this person. And I'm like, damn, if I wasn't at this place, then I wouldn't have met this person. And then the cookie trails just led to this, to this, to this. And then when I connect the dots, looking backwards, I'm like, this was all part of the journey that was connected to my vision. The thing about it, they don't put first graders in fifth grade because you got to pass a series of tests to comprehend that you understand the grade that you're in right now.
Wow.
And so I had to pass all these things. The universe, the only way that it can test you is through things that's connected to your heart. That's the only way to get your attention. Because if it ain't connected to your heart, you cool on it. So it'll use your mama, your kids, your husband, your family. It'll use everybody that it can. But when you stay connected and locked, once you go one step past that, all of a sudden everybody start falling right back in alignment. That happened with my daughter. That happened with my fiance. That happened with my mom, my brother, my aunt. But I stayed. And because I stayed, what comes from the heart goes into the heart. Let's just pretend that my vision is the big heart. It's the Pacific Ocean. Mm. I am the river that's connected to the Pacific Ocean. I just got to stay connected to that. And everything else that was along, that it was there to test me to see if what I wanted is what I really wanted. Mm-hmm. And when I look back, I'm like, oh, that's why that happened. That's why that happened. That's why that happened. So all of that, the last 8 years, was shaping me and molding me to be the kind of person that can talk to Bloods, Crips, strippers, people who've been shot, people who have been through the ringer.
Yeah.
Because they ain't gonna listen to somebody they can't relate to. And I'm like, oh, when I was a little kid, I said I wanted to be a superhero. Name one superhero that didn't have traumatic things that they went through to gain their superhero powers.
Listen.
So it makes sense.
Yeah.
Why the bigger the message, the bigger the audience, the bigger the platform, why I'm used to go all over the world to speak one message of freedom. And no matter the religion, the gender, all these different things, everybody can relate. Mm. But if I hadn't have gone through all those, there'd be no possible way that I could hold a candle to the life that I'm living right now, because I'm operating at the capacity of somebody that can hold that space. I had to grow through all those tests first.
Yeah. Yeah. God. You know what? And something I say all the time to people is like, don't hoard your testimony. Like, your story is meant to be shared.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's like that old saying of like, the truth shall set you free. It's like standing in your truth will set you free from whatever you're facing.
Yeah.
And also take you to heights you couldn't even fathom.
Couldn't even fathom. I never could have imagined. However, it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
Because it was connected to my vision.
Yeah.
When I'm locked. So it makes sense. When they're just like, oh, you booked this. Oh, this happened.
Yeah.
This is coming. You met this person. You went here. This is happening. It's like, oh, this is really cool. People like, yo, who is your agent? I'm like, God. My agent, I paid the price. You're going to be rewarded for the price you paid.
Mm.
If you're in alignment with something that is true and pure, your intention is clear, is connected to people, there's no greed, no ego, whatever price you paid in the past, trust me, that was an investment. You didn't pay a price. That was an investment. And you will get a return that's 10 times more.
Yeah. Yeah, God. And it's too, it's like when people, and I think social media has really created this space, but when people chase success out of ego, it will always elude you. You know, it will never feel like whatever your expectation of how it should look or feel will be.
That was exactly my story. When I was in the music industry, I wanted to be famous so bad. And I would look into the mirror and I would see nothing. And then when I just started transforming and I was like, you know what? I don't actually care to be famous. I really don't. I just want to help people. I just want to make a difference in people's lives. I want to live life in such a way so that people can see what true freedom is like. So that they can utilize their own God-given talents and produce extraordinary results in their life. Give me any platform to create that, whether it be a book, whether it be health and nutrition, whether it be, you know, whether it be an invention, you give me any platform and it's connected to that. Yes. And because I'm so clear, they come in super clear. It's just matching the way I see it. I'm not looking through, I'm locked in and I'm clear. And so it's matching me. It's all matching me.
Wow. Wow. How does it feel in this moment to be this version of yourself? Like how, when you're feeling the most present and the most aligned, what comes through for you?
You know, it's just absolute peace and joy. And I had a misconstrued version of what I thought success was. Like my new success, my new luxury is peace of mind. It's like when I go to sleep at night and all the lights are down, it's like peaceful and it's calm. Mm. And I'm like genuinely proud of myself. I've become accustomed to it. It's like if you put a frog in boiling water, it's going to explode because it wasn't accustomed to it. But if you put a frog in lukewarm water and then you gradually raise the temperature, once it gets to boiling, it's already adjusted to the environment. Yeah. So I adjusted to the evolution of Garen. So right now I'm very peaceful. I'm 40 years old, look 25. You know, the fountain of youth is getting rid of all of your resentments, being able to forgive and doing the stuff that you absolutely love. And your life will be restored because age don't make you old. It's when you let your life beat you down. Your spirit starts to sag and it can't hold that weight. Wow. I learned this from somebody who's 106 years old. That was my old neighbor.
Wow. I hope that if you're listening to this show right now, what you're really taking away is a new openness of yourself, a new level of surrender. Because like what you shared, like that dark night of the soul that you experienced with screaming out and just being open. Mm-hmm. Like that, people ask me all the time, like, well, what's like a life hack? You know, I get DM'd so constantly by people saying, well, just tell me like something I can do right now so that I can completely change my life. And I'm like, well, it doesn't work like that. There's no shortcuts in the way that you're envisioning a shortcut. But I do believe that not all transformation has to come through pain.
Right.
But you have to be open.
Yes.
You have to be open. You have to reach a point where you are choosing to be honest with yourself, the perceived good and bad of whatever that entails. And you choose openness. That whatever comes through, I'm ready to receive.
I mean, all you got to do is look at your hands and ball your fists up. Can't nothing come in there. But when you open your hands, you could put money there. You could put fruit. You could hold a baby. Like there's so many different things that you can do. But I'm going to.
You can hold gratitude.
Absolutely. Kind of two fists full of perspective, new perspective. There's two things that I know that you can do. It ain't gonna It's not going to change your life like that. However, it can create an opening and it'll plant a seed that will start you on your journey. Here's one of them. Whatever your dominant hand is, for 30 days, use your non-dominant hand to eat, to brush your teeth, to do your hair, to wipe your butt when you're using the restroom. And I'm not even joking. Sleep on the other side of the bed. And if you do that for 30 days, because it's something you've never done before, yeah. And because it's something you've never done before, you're going to have a difficult time to do it. And because it'll be so difficult. However, it's going to operate a part of your brain that you don't use. And because it operates a part of your brain that you don't use, you're going to be forced to be stimulated. Well, when you're stimulated, you're using 100% capacity. It's just like when cell phones get new features. People are like, oh my God, imagine if iPhone 1 went to iPhone 2 and they didn't change nothing. Well, as humans, if you don't change anything, you add no new features to your attitude, it's the same, the same, the same, the same. You serving up people, no new upgrades, nothing. Well, just like a phone, if the users ain't gonna come back because they not getting the new features, well, guess what? Your life and all this new stuff, it's not gonna come in because you're serving up old stuff. Just like a moldy person just sitting there doing the same thing over and over and over. So do the opposite of everything that you would normally do. Use your opposite hand. Do that for 30 days. You will notice a drastic change. Here's another thing. So I had a conversation with this girl a month ago. And she had money. She had the relationship. She had cars. She had the job. And she said, I feel like I'm missing something. And she was sad. And I said, well, what did you love when you were a child? And this is the biggest hack ever. Why? Because the heart is one of the most powerful frequencies in the world. Most people don't even use it. She said, I used to love to play the piano. When was the last time you played the piano? 20 years ago. When you used to play the piano when you were a child, how did you feel? Oh, it used to make me feel so free and so loving and so joyous, everything. What do you do in your life right now that you absolutely love that makes you so free and so joyous? Nothing. I do what everybody else tells me that I should do. Okay. So I said, do you have any kids? She was like, I have two. I said, imagine your daughter coming up to your leg and saying, mom, 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 and you ignoring her for 20 years. What do you think the relationship would be like? She said, it wouldn't be one. She wouldn't trust me. I said, well, the thing that you loved as a child, let's just say it's connected to your inner child, which is connected to your spiritual umbilical cord to heaven, source energy. Let's just say that she's been trying to get your attention for 20 years and you've been ignoring her for 20 years. So what do you think the relationship to your soul and the physical is like? Your soul meaning your inner child. Not there, like something is missing. I said, bingo. Go back and actually nurture your child and give it energy and tell her you love her and then start playing the piano 2-3 times a week. So she starts playing the piano 2-3 times a week. And I see her a year later and she had aged backwards. All of her ailments were gone. Wow. And she said, I started attracting things that I'd never attract. I'm like, yeah, because you're using your heart. You're coming from your heart, not from money, not from business. That's outside. You use what's inside. Overflow that and let people benefit from the overflow that you first give to yourself, not the other way around. So whatever it is out there, everybody, remember what you loved as a little kid. Go and do it and feel what it feels like. Don't try to make sense of it. You couldn't make sense of ABCs. However, you showed up for class and all of a sudden language happened. This is something that you can use that will increase your happiness, that will just have you truly be in your heart, and you can take that and put it and transfer it in anything that you want to do in life, you'll feel a thousand times better.
God, I love that. I love that. Before we wrap up, if you would, give me three books that you think the audience should tap into.
The Power of Positive Thinking by Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. I've read it 327 times between the paperback and audiobook. I'm going to say that again. The Power of Positive Thinking by Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. That's one of them. Okay. The other one is The Power by Rhonda Byrne. She's the one who did she did The Secret, but her next book was The Power. It's all about generosity and gratitude and love. I've listened to it over and over and over. Next book, Change Your Mindset, Change Your Life by Garen Jones, out in November. And it's all of these things that I'm sharing will all be in the book, but it'll just show you all the lessons, how you can apply it to your life, all the things that I went through. It's going to be really, really, really awesome. And I can't wait to hear all of y'all's feed forward, not feedback, but feed forward when y'all get that book and post the quotables online.
And can people connect with you through your social media to get, like, to find out about, like, signing events or?
Absolutely. My website is GarenJones.com. G-A-R-R-A-I-N Jones.com. My Instagram, Garen.Jones. Facebook, Garen Jones. I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff.
And all of this everywhere. Info, I'm going to tag all of this on my Instagram post for this episode, so you guys can see it on my page too, and just click through if that'll be easier to remember.
Yeah.
I'm gonna close out. I love your bio in your Instagram. The modern day superhero guiding people to achieving whole life success.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is exactly who you are in this moment.
Yeah.
I'm so deeply happy for you and this beautiful life that not only life that you've created, but the life that you are actively sharing with us. And I thank you. And I just love you. And
I love you too. And thank you so much. It's people like you that, cause you've always supported, and you supported a lot of people. It's people like you that create platforms that give stories like mine wings to fly. And, you know, I know that there's going to be some people out there that be like, you know what? Me too. Mm. I get to do something different with my time, effort, and energy. Mm. So thank you. Yeah.
I'm grateful you exist. Thank you for joining the show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I will definitely be at the book event and buying the book and doing the things. Congrats on your beautiful union with your queen coming up.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Love.
I used to be so afraid of getting in a relationship. I didn't want to get on lockdown until I realized, no, when you find the right one, you're amplifying up.
Oof.
And then we're not two halves. We're two wholes. Two wholes create infinity. Two halves make a zero. So she's whole, I'm whole, and we just amplify up all. And she's, if not more powerful than me, we just keep leveling each other up.
I love that. We're going to have to do a part two, too, because I would love to do an episode with you where we specifically talk about love.
Oh, yeah.
Manhood and fatherhood.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have so many phenomenal gems and stories in both of those spaces as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing this again.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thank you guys for listening. Catch you next time. Peace. Big thank you for listening to this episode of the Dropping Gems podcast. This show is executive produced by Adrian Scott and me, Debbie Brown. Our theme music was created by producer Day One, and the poem that you heard at the beginning of the show, well, that was created especially for us by award-winning poet Nnamdi Okafor. If you have a quick moment right now, please hit subscribe on the show. And if you like what you heard, take it a step further and give us a 5-star rating. Until next time, you connect with me on IG at Debbie Brown or my website, DebbieBrown.com. Be blessed.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique two-in-one product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just two capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now